Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Are you ready to go?
We hit the streets every week because that's where the sinners are. You can do it. This isn't for entertainment purposes. The way of the master is for us to go fishing. So hopefully you hear us witnessing to people. You learn how to use the law. The people get saved and God gets glorified. So we go fishing. Ray, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right. Alex is out in the streets in Melbourne. Hello, Alex.
G'day, fellas. You're right. I am on the streets. I'm in the Shannon Mall once again here in Frankston, where there's plenty of people, and I found one very nice young man willing to talk to you guys. He's only 15 years old. His name's Damien, and his mum's a Christian, so I'm sure she's out there praying for him somewhere.
That's a fact.
And, he doesn't know what happens to him when he dies. And there's not one ounce of colour on him. He's completely dressed all in black. He's got a black hoodie and two piercings in his bottom lip. So he seems like a very colourful character.
Yeah. Is he a nice kid?
Seems like it, yeah, from the short conversation I had with him. He seems a very, very reasonable young man. He was smoking, and he's 15 years old. And then we said, do you realise, you know, you're underage? And he said, oh, it's okay, as long as your parents let you. So,
yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sure his Christian mom is jumping for joy.
Yeah.
Ray, do you find that to be true, that the kids who tend to be in black, in that gothic kind of look, they actually very frequently tend to be very nice kids who are really desperate for help?
Well, because they're dressed in black and they've got rings through their nose and lips and that, not many people talk to them. So if you go up and say, hey, how you doing, it kind of, they respond really warmly.
That's a good point. All right, Alex, well done. Let's have a chat with Damien.
Okay.
Ray, you take over and let's listen in to Damien and Ray.
Hello.
Damien.
Yes.
How you doing? My name's Ray. Thanks for coming on the radio. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Damien, would you give me some of your thoughts on what do you think happens after someone dies?
Well, not really. I haven't really thought about it that much, but
you got to think about it. I mean, you're 15. When you're 4, 5, 6, 7, nothing else kind of matters. And then as you get older, you realize that you've got an appointment with death. And I can't remember when I first discovered that, but I tell you, I carried a heavy load for years as I thought about the fact that I was going to die. I wasn't just going to lose my eyes in an accident, or my ears, or my taste buds, or my mind, but death was going to take everything I held dear to me, including my own life. And it seemed very strange, and I used to think about it now and then. And you don't hardly think about it at all?
Not really. I reckon everyone just lives the time that they have.
Uh-huh. And how long's that?
Depending on how you go. You never know. You could just get hit by a car tomorrow and die. You never know.
Or you could have an aneurysm in your sleep and wake up dead. That's a bit of a shock to the system. So what? Imagine if you were going to die at the age of 16 years old, okay? A lot of people die at 16 years old. That's probably one of the most dangerous times of your life, because 16-year-olds tend to do kind of dumb things. We'll get in a car and drive really fast, or we'll, you know, do strange things. So we risk our lives because we don't really appreciate what we got. So what do you think's going to happen to you after you die?
Well,
do you think there's a God?
According to my mother, there is.
Yeah, but that's a good answer. What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I haven't really thought about it. I just haven't really thought of, well, the whole God thing. Well, I've always thought there is, but there's no sort of proof. There's people believe and people don't. You just never really know.
Well, there is actually proof. Do you want to have some proof? Would you be interested if I gave you proof really quick?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you don't sound too excited. I wonder why that is.
Hey, Damien, I've heard stuff of my mother.
Oh, she may not have said this. When you look at a building, how do you know there was a builder?
You don't particularly, but
well, the building's there. Remember, buildings don't happen by themselves. Obviously, the building must have been built. It's got doors, windows, doorknobs, carpet. You know, it's obvious it's got a roof and walls, so the fact that the building exists is proof there was a builder, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, now when you look at a painting, how do you know there was a painter? Think in the same logical fashion.
well, because it obviously got done by someone who actually knows what they're doing.
That's exactly right. So the painting is absolute proof there was a painter. Paintings don't happen by themselves, okay?
Yeah.
Now, think of creation. Think of flowers, birds, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, fruit trees. Think of bananas, apples, oranges, apricots. Think of parrots. Think of all this incredible creation around us. Creation is absolute proof there was a creator. So that makes sense, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know there's a God because of creation. And, Damien, you've got a conscience. You know you've got a conscience, this little voice that tells you right from wrong?
Yeah.
Does it ever speak to you?
Sometimes.
Yeah, so when you do wrong, the conscience says, hey, that was wrong. So that's another proof of God's existence. Now, do you think there's a heaven and a hell?
Well, there might be.
Would you be interested if there was? If you were heading for hell, would you like me to warn you, or would you just like to go there without someone warning you?
See what happens.
You mean you wouldn't mind going to hell to see what it's like?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Have you ever been to a dentist?
Yeah.
You ever have a drill and the dentist hits a raw nerve? Ever had that happen?
Yeah.
Did you like the feeling?
Sort of.
You're kidding me. You like the dentist drill?
I don't know. Like pain, sort of.
Boy, that's really sad, Damien. It's revealing something about there's something in you that isn't right if you like pain. Let me ask you another question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I have my good days and I have my bad days.
Okay. So,
like everyone else.
Okay, so you're the average person. You think you're reasonably good or is your heart deceitfully wicked?
No, I prefer to be more of a good person towards other humankind and everything.
Okay, well, that's great. So I'm going to give you a little test to see if it's true. Are you ready?
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Yeah, have you ever stolen something?
Once or twice.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A bad person.
A thief. Now, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Not particularly.
Have you ever done it even once?
Sort of.
So that's called blasphemy. It's very serious. In fact, it's so serious, God proclaims the death sentence upon anyone who uses his name as a cuss word. It's called blasphemy. And here's another question. This is the last one in this little series. Jesus said whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Damien, have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
No.
You've always had pure attitude toward a woman. You look at a woman and you never desired her sexually?
Not unless you're in a relationship and you actually feel like taking it to the next level, then no.
So you have done it?
Yeah, I've done it.
Oh, well, that's fornication. So you've really put your foot in it. So listen to this, Damien. Hey, I appreciate your honesty. It's really good of you. But this is how God sees you. He sees you as a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterous fornicator. So if God judged you by those 10 commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Pretty much.
Guilty?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, does it concern you that if you died tonight, you would go to hell for eternity if God gave you justice?
Don't know. Probably.
Think for a minute. Yeah, of course it would. Man, you love your life. Don't you love life? Don't you love your eyesight and the fact you can think and eat good food and enjoy a blue sky and laugh and look at God's creation? You love life. It's the most precious thing you've got. So obviously it should concern you. Do you know what God did for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell for eternity? Have you any idea?
No.
Your Creator, the one who gave you life, that gave you your mind, your eyes, your ability to think and see and hear, that God who created you and breathed life into you so loved you that he became a human being in Jesus Christ and suffered and died on that cross 2,000 years ago, taking the punishment for your sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus suffered and died, taking the punishment for your sins. It's like this, you're guilty in a courtroom. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood so that your case could be dismissed. He rose from the dead, the Bible says, and he defeated death. And what you must do to receive forgiveness of sins and God's gift of everlasting life is repent. That means turn from your sins once and for all and trust in Jesus Christ in the same way you trust a parachute to save you. Now, I've just shared the gospel with you. God solved the dilemma of death for humanity 2,000 years ago. God offers you everlasting life, Damien. You're a young man. You've got your whole life ahead of you if God allows you to live. And the Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because as you get older, you'll become what's called self-righteous. And as people get older, they say, I'm a good person. I really don't need God's forgiveness. And they deceive themselves when they say they have no sin. So while you're young and your heart is tender and your attitude is tender, make sure you soften your heart to the gospel and just say, God, please forgive my sins. And you repent. That is, you turn from all sin. No more fornication, no more lying or stealing or blasphemy, no more lustful, adulterous thoughts. And you say, God, please create a clean heart in me. God will do it, Damien. You'll be born again. He'll give you a new heart with brand new desires. That happened to me 34 years ago, and I'm still shaking my head in shock at how radical it is when God gets hold of you. And so believe me, God is hearing the prayers of your mother. She cares about you. She doesn't want death to swallow you, and you end up in hell for eternity. So give some thought to what we talked about, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, Damien.
Yeah, it's all right.
Thank you.
Well then, Mom's been praying like nobody's business. Perhaps you could also be praying for Damien. What you just heard is not at all untypical. Growing up in a house where Dad's the pastor, but not understanding the cross, not understanding how the whole thing works. When you talk to your kids, make sure they understand it. And it always starts with using the law so that they can understand, oh, that's why I need a Savior. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Always appreciate when you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. On this Witness Wednesday, might I suggest a trip to the Wretched Store to check out our latest resource that will help you defend our Christian doctrines, Drive-By False Teaching. We all know that mankind, since the fall, has heard the truth and then found ways to twist it to suit our own situations. So it won't surprise you, the New Testament canon wasn't even closed, and two major heresies had already infiltrated the church. False teaching is nothing new. All the devil does is repackage old heresies to deceive the contemporary church. Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools that you need to distinguish the true from the almost true. Well, let's be honest, the false teaching, and contend earnestly for the faith. You'll find your copy of Drive-By False Teaching at wretched.org/false-teaching. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee, but I'm not gonna do that, but we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe, 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
We are proud to announce our newest addition to the Drive-By series, Drive-By False Teaching. And just as the name implies, Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools you need to distinguish the true from the almost true and contend earnestly for the faith.
What should be our diet? Should I constantly be studying false teaching and false teachers?
Not constantly, but you definitely need to be familiar with every threat to the gospel, especially if you're in any position of leadership or even if you're just a normal Christian who's discipling other people. You need to be aware of any error that might threaten their sanctification or their spiritual well-being. The shepherd can't think, well, all right, I've driven that wolf off, now time for a nap. He has to stay on the alert. You have to be constantly vigilant.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious and well worth defending. Drive-By False Teaching will help you defend our doctrines. Get your copy today at wretched.org/false-teaching.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
While you might think this is radical that we've got Alex out in the street and he's got a cell phone and we talk to complete strangers, oh, I could never do that. It truly is easier to witness to a stranger than it is to a loved one because, well, with a stranger, you really don't have anything to lose. Besides, witnessing to, say, your grandpa and saying, hey, grandpa, have you ever looked at a woman with lust? That's a tough one, isn't it, Ray?
Yes, unless you're a grandpa.
Okay, Alex, if you'd talk very loudly for Ray's sake, that'd be great. Loudly? Okay, Alex, where are you today?
I am where I usually am, hard in the Frankston, or the Shannon Mall in Frankston.
Okay, wait a second. Before you go any further, Alex,
You
go there a lot. Why do you go to the same place so regularly?
Well, it's near where I live. All I have to do is walk out the door, walk half an hour, and I'm here. And on a Saturday or whenever, you know, we go out, there's just tons of people here in the mall. They're sitting on benches waiting for their, you know, wives or husbands to do the shopping, and there's just lots of people standing around, and it's just a great place to witness the people.
It's a good fishing hole. Yeah, and there's good nothing
there's
wrong.
Lots of people.
Yeah, find a good place near your town. Okay, so if it's busy on Tuesday night, then make it Tuesday. Whatever it happens to be, find the place. Universities, great places to go witnessing. Make it your fishing hole and get there regularly. Okay, who's with you, Alex?
I've got Philip with me now. He's 22 years old, and he used to be a Roman Catholic, but now he's an atheist, and I would say probably a hardcore atheist, Todd. He believes that when you die, there's just nothing now, and he says you go back to what you were, which is nothing. So I thought that was interesting, that you were nothing, and you become something, then you're nothing again.
Not exactly but, sure who's in charge of that program.
But anyway, he's keen as to speak to you.
All right. So Ray.
Yes.
Hardcore atheist.
I love atheists.
All right, let's give it a
go,
Alex.
I'm sincere.
Okay, here you.
Philip.
Hello.
Nice of you to come on the program.
So, no problem.
You're an atheist.
Yes, I am indeed.
Why?
Why? Well, I was brought up a Catholic, but I basically don't see any concrete evidence.
You from Ireland?
Yes.
And you're brought up a Catholic?
Yes.
Shocked.
Yeah, we're shocked. Oh, that's really interesting. You know, were you there when all those rotten wars were going on in Ireland and the bombings and stuff like that?
I'd be just a little bit too. Well, they were still kind of going on, but just before my generation, really.
Man, I would almost become an atheist if I looked at the history of religious wars in Ireland. Seriously, it's just horrible, and man has used religion for his own ends right down through history, and it's horrible. But, Philip, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Have you ever heard that saying?
Say that again?
Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we can tend to do. We can look at religion and see the hypocrisy around us and say, I don't want anything to do with it. There's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. And yet there's so much evidence, so much proof of God's existence. So you said you're an atheist. Tell me why.
Well, I believe basically in things that I see around me. I've got a very scientific mind. I believe in physics. I believe in chemistry. I see no evidence for existence of God anywhere.
So, hey, Philip, is there anything you can think of that you've never seen that you believe in?
No.
Have you ever seen your brain?
I've studied medicine for a while. I've seen the actual...
Have you seen your brain? Your brain.
I haven't seen... Yeah, but... That's a stupid question.
No, it's not. You said
yes,
only.
Is.
It's not a stupid question.
That is the stupidest question I've ever heard.
Okay, here's another one.
I'm going to put my head open and have a look at my brain.
Philip, I've got stupider questions than that, so you're going to be very interested in this. Okay. Have you ever seen the wind?
Have I ever seen the wind?
Yeah, it's invisible.
It's invisible, yes, but you can feel the wind. By seeing, I mean you can also sense stuff.
So there's a lot of things that we believe in that we haven't seen. We believe in history, we believe in love, we believe in electricity, we believe in television waves that we can't see. Right in front of your eyes at the moment, there are invisible television waves that will manifest themselves if you have an antenna or an aerial and a receiver. So there's lots of things we believe in that we've never seen. Philip.
Yes.
There is proof of God's existence. Would you like to hear it?
Try.
Okay. Now, I just need you to be reasonable. Can you do that with me?
I will do my best.
Okay. When you look at a building, how do you know there was a builder?
How do you know there was a builder? Because the building exists.
Okay. When you look at a painting, how do you know there was a painter?
Same answer.
Exactly. The painting exists, and you can't have paintings happen by themselves. Buildings don't happen by themselves. The building is proof there's a builder. The painting is proof there was a painter. Now, when you look at creation, how do you know there was a creator? Well, creation exists. Flowers, birds, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, fruit trees, the seasons, the marvel of the human body, The eyes, which have 137 million light-sensitive cells, focusing muscles that move 100,000 times a day. The genius of God's creative hand is expressed in creation. Now, if there is a heaven, do you think you'd get there? Do you consider yourself to be a good person, Philip?
I do consider myself to be a good person, but after I die, it's just going to be like before I was born. I just won't exist anymore.
Yeah, but so you consider yourself to be a good person. I'm going to ask you a few questions to see if that's true. Okay, here we go. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No.
You've just told me you're a liar. In your whole life, Philip, have you ever taken something that belongs to someone else, even if it's small?
No, yeah. I haven't.
Oh, that's great. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, I know you don't believe in him. That's called blasphemy, where you take the holy name of the God that gave you life and you use it as a cuss word to express disgust. It's very serious in God's sight. And then listen to this one. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I'm guilty of that.
Absolutely. So listen to this, Philip. By your own admission, you're a lying, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. We've only looked at 4 of the 10 commandments. Yeah. If, and this is a huge if, we're surmising, if God judged you by the 10 commandments on the day of judgment, would you be innocent or guilty?
Guilty, but I'm not going to be judged by anybody.
Okay, now here's the if again. If he judges you by the 10 commandments and you're found to be guilty, would you go to heaven or hell?
Oh, hell.
And there's no purgatory. So does it concern you that if you died today, you have Almighty God's promise that he will give you justice and you'd end up in hell for eternity? And I think I know what you're going to say. I think I know why you're not upset.
Why am I not upset?
Because you don't believe in hell.
Yeah.
Would that be right?
Yeah.
You're like a criminal who's been found guilty in a court of law. The judge sentences him to the death sentence, to the electric chair, and the criminal says, I don't believe in the electric chair. That doesn't change anything. They'll just say, take him away. And believe me, Philip, I wouldn't lie to you because this is so serious and I so care about you. If you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you will go to hell. There is such a place. Death is God's punishment. Death is the doorway to damnation. I don't want you to be damned. I don't want you to suffer for eternity. And I want you to listen to the voice of your conscience and realize that every time you sin, you're stirring up God's wrath. And I'm telling you something different than Catholicism. If you've been brought up in Roman Catholicism, this is different. If you read the Bible, you'll see that Catholicism is different than Christianity, and Catholics are first to tell you that. If I say to a Catholic, are you a Christian? They'll say, no, I'm a Roman Catholic. There's a huge difference. So if you've been offended by Catholicism, set it aside and open a Bible and with a humble heart read the Gospel of John, because I've been reading the scriptures every day for 34 years, and there's nothing like God's Word. It's axiomatic. It's self-provable. All you have to do is have a soft heart, because if you're proud and arrogant and self-righteous, you cannot approach God. You've got to come with a humble heart and be sorry for your sins, and that's the only way you'll ever find everlasting life. And so, Philip, what do you think?
I'm a good fit, but I don't believe any of it.
Yeah, well, my confidence isn't in the fact that you don't believe. My confidence is that you listened and God's faithful to draw you to himself. No one can become a Christian, the Bible says, by himself, because we're so rebellious, so hard-hearted, it takes God's grace to draw us to himself, to open up our eyes. And I'm going to pray that happens to you, and the other listeners will pray, because think of the words of Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So there's nothing in you that says, I would be interested to find out how to find everlasting life. Nothing that says that?
No.
There's nothing in you that says, I want to live, I don't want to die. There's no common sense in there?
No.
Because,
not a bit. I'm a lost cause.
Okay, no you're not. We're all lost causes in our own eyes, but God sets before us a way of life and a way of death, and he says, choose life that you might live. And I trust that you'll come to your senses and choose life. Philip, thank you so much for listening to me.
Oh,
I really
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Deep sigh, deep sigh. All right, Ray.
Mm-hmm. No gospel.
No gospel, was it? What happened to Jesus and the cross and forgiveness of sins?
Well, when someone won't acknowledge the disease, why would you give them the cure? They're going to tip it down the drain. They've got to say, I'm diseased. Is there a cure? You say, here's the cure. They're going to say, give it to me.
Because, he might die and go to hell.
Well, your methodology is reflected by your theology. I believe that God draws whom he will to himself. No man can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that can bring conviction of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that saves. God saves. I want to be born of the will of God, not the will of man. So I want to keep my fingers out of the work of God. So I sowed today. God will water. He'll bring the increase. God will bring the increase. Someone else will water, and someone will reap at the due time.
But you're mean.
Yep, I'm mean. I'm like a doctor that cares about his patient enough to make sure he gets the cure.
All right, and because God is sovereign, if indeed Philip is becoming reasonable and concerned, God is plenty big enough to have him bump into another Christian, have him stumble into a church, have him open up that dusty Bible and read John 3:16, and he can hear the good news, and God will save him. So sometimes, and Ray pleaded with him several times, won't you consider it? And he just said, no. And so the good news does not get given. Pray for Philip.
This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. A Christian evangelist has been murdered in southeast Turkey. Korean ministry worker Jinwook Kim was stabbed to death in the city of Diyarbakir on November 19th. According to International Christian Concern, Turkish authorities have arrested a 16-year-old on suspicion of murder. The 41-year-old evangelist had arrived in Turkey earlier this year and was pastoring a small congregation of Christians. According to reports, he was stabbed three times, later succumbing to his injuries in a local hospital, leaving behind a wife and a child. Authorities are treating it as a mugging gone bad. Believers say that police should investigate the crime as an assassination. One local church leader told ICC the Turkish government has started a massive deportation of Protestant leaders who served in Turkey for many years, but now deportation isn't enough for evangelists. This kind of attack would scare them. I think this is the last level of a plan, being like China. Another Turkish evangelist, who was on the receiving end of a death threat just a day after the murder, insisted the attack was religiously motivated. Praying for our brothers and sisters. Women in Pennsylvania will continue to be permitted to abort children who test positive for Down syndrome. According to FaithWire, Democratic Governor Tom Wolf vetoed the Republican-backed legislation that had just cleared the Senate that would have made it illegal for women to have abortions because their babies tested positive for Down syndrome. The governor's statement read in part, "There's no evidence the bill is needed in Pennsylvania. I have significant concerns that the enforcement of this legislation would upend the doctor-patient relationship and impede on patient confidentiality." He then tried to explain how he supports both people with disabilities and women with complex pregnancies and said the bill would not help either of those groups. Currently, women in Pennsylvania may abort the children up until 24 weeks of gestation in all cases except for selection of gender. President of March for Life, Gene Mancini, called the news disturbing and an example of eugenics. The Pennsylvania Catholic Conference agreed, releasing a statement that said Governor Wolf's veto will prevent all children with Down syndrome from going on to live happy and fulfilled lives. Had Governor Wolf signed this legislation, he would have ensured the protection of humanity's most vulnerable lives. Unfortunately, unborn lives just don't seem to matter much in the politics of the day. Lord have mercy. Sadly, this isn't shocking or even surprising. Each and every Democratic candidate running for president can agree on one thing: taxpayers should be forced to pay for abortions. The poll from the New York Times asked each candidate if they would repeal the Hyde Amendment. The amendment is a rule that bars federal funding of abortion in, well, virtually all cases, really. About repeal, every Democrat responded, yes. Many also said that they would ban abstinence-only sex education, and a majority said they would force insurance companies to cover abortions. What a world. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1536. John Calvin publishes The Institutes of the Christian Religion, the most substantial theological work of the Reformation. Calvin's ideas would deeply influence church and politics in Switzerland and Scotland and take root in the newly discovered North America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish, where are you?
Hi, I'm standing in front of somebody that has a fortune in their mouth. His name is Ty, and I found him in, where are we, Half Price Book?
A fortune cookie?
And he turned around, and I said, hey, you know, would you be willing to be on the air and whatnot? And, you know, he's willing. I kind of had to pull him by the arm, and he's smiling. But I asked him, what's, you know, tell me something interesting about you. And he pointed to his mouth, and he's got these braces attached to his gums. And he said that he had his wisdom teeth out. And I guess that what happened? You got an infection? It got into the bone, all kinds of stuff. And so he had his mouth wired shut for 2 months, lost 60 pounds. I can't imagine you being heavier. I mean, I can't imagine you losing 60 pounds is a lot.
Cut his head off at that point. Yikes.
And he said there was a chance that he could have died. He's better now. He said he should still be on liquid diet. But should you be smoking either or no? You really shouldn't, should you?
Well, not a Christian, right? Definitely not a Christian.
Yeah.
Should you be smoking?
All that is,
he's trying not to let, he doesn't, you know, want to let it slow him down anymore. But his name's Ty. And, he's definitely willing to talk about spiritual things and stuff.
All righty. I don't know that we'll be able to understand him if his jaws are clamped shut, but nevertheless.
good
call, Trish. Way to go.
Right.
Sounds good to me, Todd.
Just listen, Ty.
And you'll be talking to my friend Ray. There you are.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good, Ty. So, are you still smoking?
I am still smoking, yes.
What, are you trying to kill the rest of the infection in your mouth, are you?
I'm trying to kill it all.
You had your mouth shut for 2 months?
Wired shut for 2 months.
That's horrific. How did you communicate?
Seldom.
And what did you just live on liquids through your nose or something?
No, I was drinking liquid through my mouth. I was on a boost diet is what I drank. My mom made some soups and stuff. Other than that, it was pretty much a slim fast diet all the way.
And you lost 60 pounds?
60 pounds.
You could make a lot of money on this. Go on Oprah and talk about it. You get a lot of women calling you up and saying, 60 pounds!
Yeah, 60 pounds. But, you know, I didn't look a lot heavier. I was only at 38.
Really?
Yeah.
So where'd you lose your weight? Around your mouth?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. So, Ty, I got a scenario for you. Are you with me?
I'm here, Nick.
Okay. It's 1938. You've been transported back in time by a time machine. You've got Adolf Hitler in your sights. You've got a high-powered rifle. He killed 6 million Jews, gypsies and blacks, and homosexuals also. A total of 50 million people died as a result of the war that he started. One pull of the trigger, and he's dead. After you shoot, you'll be immediately whisked back to today. Do you pull the trigger?
Do I pull the trigger? Yeah.
Yeah. You would?
I'd shoot that bastard. Hey, I'd shoot him on the spot.
You wouldn't hesitate?
Wouldn't hesitate.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to go back a little more in time. You've got Adolf Hitler's mother in your sight. She's pregnant with Adolf. She's 8 months pregnant. Do you pull the trigger?
His mother?
Yeah. I mean, Adolf's in there. You take her out. You take him out. Take them both out. Why not? If you're going to take one, take them both.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Why not?
No, she didn't do anything to me.
She didn't do anything? She gave birth to the monster that killed 50 million people.
It doesn't make her wrong. She didn't know what she was giving birth to.
Yeah, but you're going to save 50 million lives by taking her out with him. You don't think it's a good exchange?
I say it's really God's job to save lives, not mine.
Okay, so how come you take Adolf out and not her?
Because you've got it coming.
Okay, so what was it that made you make that decision not to take out Adolf's mother, Mrs. Hitler?
Like I said, it's really not my call. I would say she would be considered an innocent bystander to me, and I wouldn't shoot somebody that didn't do nothing.
What say you found out that it was her influence that caused Adolf to be such a brat? She didn't spank him when he was little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think.
So God came into the equation.
I still don't think it's not really your parents' fault how you turn out. I don't believe.
You don't think
so? I believe they have a big influence, but I don't believe ultimately it's their decision. It's your decision what you do with your life.
Wow. So God came into the equation by the sound of it. You've got a little bit of fear of God in your heart. You wouldn't kill her because it's God's prerogative to take someone out.
I don't fear anybody.
You don't fear God?
I do have some faith. So a little bit of faith. I'm a little confused as to exactly
what I believe, but
Todd,
as far as...
Ty, sorry, you don't fear God?
Do what?
You don't fear God?
I don't fear God. I've got no reason to.
Okay, what do you think of this Bible verse? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Nah, I don't buy it.
Okay, let's see if we can put a bit of fear of God into your heart, okay?
Okay.
Give you some wisdom. Do you think you're a good person?
I think I have done some bad things, but I think overall I'm pretty good people.
Okay, let's see how good a people you are. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Oh, yeah.
So you committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Once or twice.
So, yeah, well, that shows you don't fear God because you use his name as a cuss word, which is very serious. It's called blasphemy. Have you ever told a lie in your life?
Maybe.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
Liars.
Have you ever stolen someone something?
No, I don't steal.
Hey, you just told me you're a liar. Come on, Ty. In your whole life, have you ever taken anything that belongs to someone else, even if it's small?
Not without asking.
You ask and then you steal it.
Never been a thief. Never been a thief.
Well, there's bad news. Listen to this, Ty. By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And you have you have to face God on Judgment Day. So if he judges you by the Ten Commandments, we've looked at four of them. There's another six with their canons pointed at you. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty on Judgment Day?
Well, if he judged me today, I may be guilty. Tomorrow, I may make things right.
Would you go to heaven, or if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell?
If I died today, I don't know, because I don't know exactly what it takes to get to either one.
Well, I can help you out. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemer or adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. The Bible makes that very clear. So does it concern you that if you died today, according to the Bible, you would be damned in everlasting hell?
Uh-huh.
Does that concern you?
Is that what?
Does it concern you?
No.
Why not? Don't you care about your life?
Yeah, but that's my afterlife.
Yeah, it's
and I'm
still
not,
your
I'm
life.
I'm not real concerned, yes, but I'm not real concerned with what happens to me in the end because end, I feel like I have time to make things right.
Ty, did you enjoy having your mouth wired shut for 2 months?
No, but it was an experience. It was a learning experience.
Well, hell is an eternal experience. It's not a learning experience because you're not going to come out the other end. It's eternal. And you should be terrified of being damned by God for eternity because you've used his name as a cuss word. You've been burning with unlawful passion. What you've done is you've violated the second of the Ten Commandments by creating a God in your own image. In the second of the Ten Commandments says you should not make yourself a graven image. You've created an image of God that you don't fear because your God's got no moral dictates. Your God doesn't mind if you use his name as a cuss word and lust after women and lie. But the God of the Bible...
According to me, my God sent me forgiveness for my sins.
Yeah, but that's because
so
you've
got room to grow and learn. So, you know, you only learn by making mistakes, right?
Todd?
So, I mean, if I make mistakes and I learn from them, I believe that that's making my wrongs right.
Todd?
In many ways. Because I can pass those learnings on to other people.
Hey, Todd.
Ty.
Ty.
Yes.
Oh. Ty, no one you weren't answering. The reason you don't fear God is because you've got a wrong concept of him. The God of the Bible sees everything you do, every thought you have. He sees the hairs on your head. He sees the things you do in darkness. All those secret sins he has seen. Nothing is hid before the eyes of him with whom you have to give an account. And you don't fear that God because you have a wrong concept of God. That's called idolatry. I was an idolater for 22 years before I was a Christian. I had no fear of God. But the God of the Bible, the God you have to face, is a consuming fire. You have to face a holy God. And if God manifests himself before you right now, he would kill you because of his justice, like a good judge will bring a gavel down on a devious criminal and send him to the gas chamber or whatever, or the electric chair if he's slit the throat of, you know, a whole stack of women. He's going to be angry and send that guy to his death immediately. And God, it's because of his goodness a judge would do that. And the holiness of God, if you stood in his presence, would consume you in wrath because God is just and holy. That's what the Bible teaches. And you don't fear God. And that concerns me because if you don't fear God, you haven't begun to be wise. And I'm trying to get you to wise up today and realize that God may not give you tomorrow. He He may kill you tonight in your sleep, and you say, I don't believe God does that. Well, read Genesis 38. God killed a man because he didn't like what he did sexually. God killed a husband and wife in the book of Acts because they told one lie.
See, I'm not sure I believe that.
That's the truth. You don't believe it. And if I said to you, there's a guy behind you with a gun. If you move, he's going to kill you. If you believe me, you'd stay still. If you didn't believe, yeah, just move and you'd be dead. Your beliefs will govern your actions. And your beliefs at the moment are governing your eternal destiny. I'm telling you the gospel truth, Ty. Believe it, that God's wrath abides on you. That you've got a conscience. You're without excuse. Every time you sin, you're storing up his wrath for the day of judgment. And I wouldn't be on your shoes on judgment day for all the tea in China. And I'm fearful for you because you don't realize your danger. Does that make sense?
Right. It makes sense. I understand what you're telling me.
Well, please consider it. When did you last read your Bible?
I haven't ever read the Bible to and through.
Well, just open to the Gospel of John and talk to the young lady that's there. She'll tell you some more information and give you some literature. But time's running out. But Ty, thank you so much for listening to me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you for talking.
Thank you.
This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11 and another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ray, very quickly, in brief, nugget size.
What is the way of the master when it comes to witnessing?
You got to bring the law to bring the knowledge of sin. You got to do what Jesus did. If someone's proud of heart, you have to humble them by telling them what sin is and preparing their heart for grace. That means they will never, ever accept a Savior unless they understand they've sinned against God. In the same way, someone will never accept a cure unless they're first convinced they have the disease.
Yeah, a doctor to walk in and say, okay, it's time to take your shot and your chemotherapy. Whoa. What's the problem here? That's the question. So give them the information that helps them understand they have a disease first. And the way to do that spiritually is by using the law, the Ten Commandments, that mirror to hold it up to their face so that they can see the disease and go, help, I need help. And that's the use of the law, the purpose of the law, to bring about the knowledge of sin, to be used as a schoolmaster to bring somebody to the Savior. Let's hit the streets and do that very thing. Josh, where are you?
Yeah, g'day Todd, g'day Ray. Guys, I am in Brisbane City in the Queen Street Mall, and I have a young man with me. His name is Harris. He's 17 years old. Now, Harris is an interesting bloke. You know, he's told me he doesn't like Christians. He can't stand them. He believes in reincarnation, and he thinks, you know, we should just live life to the full.
All right, Josh, do you want to pass over the telly, and we'll have a chat with Harris. Is that him? Harris?
No worries, mate. Here he is.
All righty. Harris, the atheist, Ray the Christian.
How you going?
Hey, Paris, thanks for coming on the program. Really appreciate it. I understand you don't like Christians.
Yeah, not really, man.
Do you hate them?
No, I don't hate them. I used to go to a Christian school, and it was pretty full on, and yeah, everybody just gave me for my beliefs.
Oh, okay, you got to watch your language. Do you like black people?
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I like every race of people. I'm not racist at all.
Do you like Jews?
Yeah.
I'm Jewish. So you like me?
Really?
Yeah, actually. I am. So you got a dilemma, because I'm Jewish,
bad.
I'm Jewish and I'm a Christian, so what are you going to do now?
Not much, man.
Just listen to me for a few moments, okay? Tell me, you're brought up in a Christian school, are your parents Christians or do they babysit you at a Christian school for a number of years?
Yeah, they kind of babysitted me at a Christian school because they just wanted me to grow up properly and stuff.
Yeah. And so, it didn't work, did it?
Nah, it just turned me against him, man.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Nah, but, like, I don't really care. I'm not going to challenge anyone for their beliefs. I'm just not really going to be as friendly toward that kind of person.
Well, you're friendly towards me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm friendly towards everybody.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
I love people. I love socializing pretty much my life.
And
I work at a news agency.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, tell me, firstly, how did you end up with the name Paris? It seems an unusual name for a guy.
Well, my parents are actually reading a book, like, you know, the story of Troy?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom was reading that book, and she was just like, oh, I'm going to name my son Paris, so that happened.
Why didn't she call you? She should have called you Troy, because you're going to spend your whole life explaining why you were called Paris. Hey, Paris, tell me, what do you think happens after someone dies?
I believe that they'll come back in someone else. Like, one of my best friends, I spent the last night with her, and she was her best friend. Like, they were best friends for, like, 3 years, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a car crash.
Yeah.
And she reckons that I'm exactly like him, like I'm reincarnated from him.
So how old is she?
I don't know. He was only 16.
How old was she?
So he was a bit younger than me. I'm 17.
And when did he die?
About 3 years back.
Well, that doesn't fit, because you're 17 years old. For him to come back as you, it would have been happened 18 years ago. It should have happened, or 17 years ago. So it kind of... You believe in reincarnation?
Reincarnation is in, like, your spirit goes into someone else. You'll always be alive.
Like a sort of a demonic
possession.
I don't
believe that anyone really dies. They just lose their physical body, and then they can choose who to come back into.
So who's in charge of
an animal?
Who's in charge of all the dealing out the bodies and who goes who and where? Is God in charge of all this, or is it just happen by random chance?
I think that there is God. Like, I'm not going to say that there isn't a God, because something's pretty powerful in this world and stuff. But
great.
You know, there is a God. There's something that helps us out every day. But
do you think God is good?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind God.
Yeah.
I don't really believe the whole Christian story.
When I say good, I didn't mean like a good guy. I meant was he morally good. So.
Yeah, because he supports everybody.
Yeah. So what's going to happen to you when you stand before God? Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah, I'm a great person. I'm nice to everybody. I'm not racist, as I said before. You know, I just love everybody. I live life to the fullest.
That's great. Well, let me give you a little test to see if you're a good person. Are you ready?
All right.
Okay, Paris, have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I actually had a really bad time about 3 months ago. I was lying to absolutely everybody, and then I got kicked out of my home.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
They're a liar. They're a fake.
Okay, have you ever stolen something?
They're fake. I was a fake. No, I haven't, actually.
You're not lying again, are you? In your whole life?
No. In my whole life, I've never stolen anything.
Nothing off the internet, no music. No ballpoint pen that belongs to another person?
Okay. If you're going to talk about music and
stuff. So what do you call someone who steals things? Yeah, what do they call?
A stealer.
A thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, very much.
Okay, now that's called blasphemy. It's a very serious sin in God's sight. It's when you take his holy name and use it as a cuss word. In fact, God considers it to be so serious, it's death sentence for blasphemy under God's law. So that's a very serious crime. It's a transgression of the third of the Ten Commandments.
What am I going to do? Well, am I going to go to jail for using the God's name in vain?
Oh, no, not. You wouldn't go to jail for it. Here's the fourth question. Here we go. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
So how do you mean? Like, looked at her and being like, wow, she's really good looking, or?
Sexual desire. Were you, in your mind, are intimate with her?
Only with love.
Oh, okay, so you've done it. So listen to this.
I love my girlfriend.
Of course. So, listen to this, Paris. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. So here's a big question. If God judges you...
What is Judgment Day? When is Judgment Day going to come, buddy?
It's coming up. Let me ask.
Because I haven't seen it around yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't get upset. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think that I'd be very guilty.
Okay.
Just because of the things that I've done in my life.
Absolutely.
But I have made up for it very much so in the past 3 months.
Okay, let me just explain something real important, and please listen to this and think about it. If a criminal stands in front of a judge and he said, Judge, I did cut that woman's throat after I raped her, but I want to tell you, that was 3 months ago, and in the last 3 months, I've been very kind to people. The judge isn't going to dismiss the case because his good works aren't going to wash away his crimes, and exactly the same applies with God. You can sin your heart out and become virtuous and good for the rest of your life, and it will not wash away your sins.
But I would never kill someone or rape someone. That's the thing.
But listen to this. Your crimes in the sight of God are incredibly serious, serious enough to take you to hell. That is God's jail. The Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. And God gave you a conscience so you know right from wrong. So you'll be without excuse on the Day of Judgment. So
I don't think that God made us, actually.
So what do you think
happened? I don't believe that God is a big guy up in heaven who's judging us. I think that God is a person that helps us out through life.
You know what you've just done?
I think that he's the one that... What?
You've just broken the second of the Ten Commandments. And this is what it says. You should not make yourself a graven image. That is, you should not make a God in your own image. I did it before I was a Christian. I created a God that I felt comfortable with. It was actually a non-existent God, a figment of my imagination. And that's what you're doing. You're shaping a God to suit yourself. And it's called idolatry. It's a figment of the imagination.
I wasn't raised as a Christian. I was just raised as a Christian through school. My parents, my mom has many different beliefs in God and the universe. She thinks that the universe controls everything. And she's really into, like, Buddha stuff and Indian stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people
And then my dad is just like a plain Aussie bloke who just goes and drinks beer and has fun.
Yeah. I really appreciate you listening to me. I have told you the gospel truth. These aren't my beliefs. This is God's word that I'm telling you, that it's appointed to you once to die, and after this you'll be judged by God. God wants to forgive your sins, but if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'll be damned and end up in hell for eternity. It's a horrible thing to say to everyone, anyone. But it's the truth, and I wouldn't lie to you.
But then you just blasphemed there when you said that I'm going to be damned to hell in eternity, because you're actually not allowed to say that. I grew up in a Christian school, man. I know how it goes.
No, of course not. Paris, please think about it and listen to the voice of your conscience and think about your secret sins, because your eternal salvation is so important. I'm not judging you. You admitted to me that you had lied and stolen and blasphemed and lusted. So
many a time.
And if God gives you justice, you're in big trouble, and I'd hate that to happen to you. And so please think about my motive. I'm saying this because I care about you. I don't want you to end up in hell. And God offers you forgiveness of sins. And if you're brought up in a Christian school, you know how to get forgiveness of sins, hopefully. Paris, thank you so much for listening to me. You put aside your prejudices.
That's
and
right,
I greatly appreciate that. So thanks, Paris.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't mind.
Goodbye.
I'll listen to anyone.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Please pray for that young man. This, just because the response wasn't what you'd want, of course, it doesn't mean that it wasn't successful. Your job is to proclaim, pray like nobody's business, and let the Holy Spirit do the converting. That's his job. Until next time, go serve your King.